Chapter 4. The Judgment of the House of God. A few months after being immersed in the waters of the Jordan by John the Baptizer, Jesus undertook his first sojourn to Jerusalem as the Messiah. Upon arriving for the Passover festival, Jesus went into the temple courtyard and threw out the merchants and overturned the tables of the money changers who had set up shop there, saying to them, "Take these things away from here. Stop making the house of my Father a house of merchandise." During his last trip to Jerusalem, also on the Passover festival, which ultimately led to his arrest, trial, and execution, Jesus once again evicted the money changers and merchants from his Father's house. No doubt, to the astonishment of his disciples, immediately prior to his cleansing the temple the second time, Jesus announced the coming destruction of both Jerusalem and the temple. The stated reason being, because you did not discern the time of your being inspected. As the appointed Messiah, Jesus was the inspector of his Father's house, and because of their deplorable lack of faith, the majority of Jews failed to pass that inspection. However, a new temple was going to be constructed. No, not another temple made with wood and stones. This time, a spiritual one. Jesus had previously spoken of this new temple on the occasion immediately after the first time he threw the money changers out of his Father's house. When the Jews demanded to see a sign from him as proof of his authority from God, Jesus said to them, "Break down this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews, of course, assumed that Jesus was speaking about the physical structure of Herod's temple, and so they responded, "This temple was built in 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days? But the Apostle John, who likely witnessed the conversation, later clarified what Jesus actually meant. At John 2:21-22, we read, "But he was talking about the temple of his body, when, though he was raised up from the dead, his disciples called to mind that he used to say this, and that they believed the scripture and the saying that Jesus said." As Jehovah's Witnesses know, Jesus was not speaking in literal terms when he spoke of the temple of his body. Jesus was alluding to the fact that the traditional form of worship centered on the temple in Jerusalem was going to become obsolete. After his resurrection, Jesus himself was going to become the central figure in a completely new form of worship. In essence, he would become the temple, or at least the chief cornerstone of a great spiritual temple-like organization. The Apostle Peter likened Christ's spiritual congregation to a literal stone temple when he wrote at 1 Peter 2:4-6, saying, "Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected, it is true, by men, but chosen, precious with God, you yourselves also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house for the purpose of a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it is contained in Scripture, 'Look, I am laying in Zion a stone, chosen, a foundation, cornerstone, precious, and no one exercising faith in it will by any means come to disappointment.'" The Apostle Paul used the exact same analogy at Ephesians 2:20-22, saying, "You have been built up upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, while Christ Jesus himself is the foundation cornerstone. In union with him, the whole building, being harmoniously joined together, is growing into a holy temple for Jehovah. In union with him, you too are being built up together into a place for God to inhabit by Spirit." Just as the literal temple in Jerusalem came in line for heaven's inspection, God also will inspect the spiritual temple at the conclusion of the system of things. Actually, the Apostle Peter indicated that all the prospective temple stones are continually under God's judgment. That is why Peter wrote the following, "For it is the appointed time for the judgment to start with the house of God. Now, if it starts first with us, what will the end be of those who are not obedient to the good news of God?" According to the context of Peter's epistle, the persecutions, sufferings, and hardships that all Christians experience is part of the stone-hewing and polishing process God has willed for the prospective members of his spiritual structure. Jehovah describes his method of dealing with his sons at Hosea 6:5. "That is why I shall have to hew them by the prophets. I shall have to kill them by the sayings of my mouth. And the judgments upon you will be as the light that goes forth." However, it is apparent that even though in one sense the appointed time for the judgment of the house of God had already begun in the first century and is ongoing, the scriptures foretell of a final judgment period concurrent with the conclusion of the entire wicked system of things. Hence, in the second chapter of the same letter, Peter wrote of a future day of inspection, saying, "Maintain your conduct fine among the nations, that in the thing in which they are speaking against you as evildoers, they may, as a result of your fine works, of which they are eyewitnesses, glorify God in the day for his inspection." Logically, the future day for his inspection is an immediate preliminary to Jehovah becoming king in the fullest sense. According to the Watchtower article cited in the title caption of this chapter, Jehovah supposedly became king in 1914, and shortly thereafter is when the judgment presumably commenced, not only for the house of God, but even merely, quote, professed Christian organizations, end quote, came in line for judgment as well. But more than that, the Watchtower also claims that God passed judgment upon all of Babylon the Great back in 1918 and 1919, which includes non-Christian religions too. As recently as 1989, the Watchtower stated, quote, "By 1919, it was apparent that Jehovah had passed judgment on Christendom and indeed on all false religion," end quote. Negating their own teaching, in reality, the Watchtower makes no distinction between the judgment that begins with the house of God and the period of judgment upon the world's religions. The Watchtower's assumption that by 1919 God had passed judgment on all religion is based upon the mere fact that a handful of prominent clergymen once hailed the League of Nations as, quote, "the political expression of God's kingdom on earth." But is it reasonable that God's judgment started back in 1918? Moreover, is it true? First, though, it might be best to establish what is supposed to happen when Christ comes to inspect his Father's spiritual house. Then it can be better determined if those things have already occurred.